Our scripture for this morning comes from 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 2 through 10. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up in the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast except for my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one think better of me than what is seen in me or heard in me. Even considering the exceptional character of the revelations, therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weaknesses. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. The word of God for the people of God. Pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Fill us, O God, and our hearts with your Holy Spirit, and let us know that your presence is with us. And Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your presence, dear Lord. For you are our Lord and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I would like to say happy Independence Day. I'm thankful that you have chosen to come and spend this hour with us, being able to worship the Lord our God. And I do pray that you will enjoy the rest of your day. And I pray that it will truly be a blessing for you and for others. In our scripture today, Paul is competing in a power struggle. He's competing with a rivalry group of missionaries for the respect of the Corinthian church. Paul names these missionaries super apostles. These super apostles were power hungry. They were violent, arrogant, moralistic, and boasting, using a status in Christ to give them superiority over others. And I'm sure that we encounter some of these individuals in our world today. They like to dominate, boast, control. Now, I'd like to say, let us take a few seconds to imagine what that dominating power looks like in our secular world today. Many in our secular world may assume power comes from the outside. They believe power is granted to a person by someone else. They see power as a position or a title, which comes with authority and control and a belief in the form of supremacy over others. Others believe that real power comes from the inside out. They maintain that power is the ability of each individual to cultivate by themselves. They say real power is increased within a person simply by the choices they make, the actions they take, and the thoughts that they create. In our dominating world, it is thought that we gain power in our own strength. Each of these thoughts can, on, Each of these thoughts that I shared with you on power truly creates power struggles between individuals, churches, organizations, institutions, and nations. Paul was truly under a power attack from his opponents. They claimed to be better speakers than Paul. They claimed to have supernatural visions and powers. In short, they were saying they were truly better apostles than Paul. In response, Paul takes the opposite approach and claims that his ministry followed the model of Jesus Christ, the crucified Messiah. And he also backed it up with the hardships he had endured in the service of Christ. At the same time, Paul also tells the story of an unusual spiritual experience he had had years earlier. In other words, he also had reason for boasting, but he would only boast in Jesus Christ. For some reason, something about this spiritual vision was so extraordinary that Paul says he was afflicted with a thorn in the flesh to keep him from boasting about it. No one really knows what this thorn was, but from Paul's perspective, it weakened him. It kept him humble. In a sense, it put him in a state of perpetual weakness. He said he prayed that this burden would be relieved from him 3 times. But in reply of his fervent prayer, the answer he received was, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." This theme of weakness truly began with Jesus. In the apparent weakness of his humiliating death on a cross, Jesus demonstrated the true power of God's love to change everything and everyone. Paul explains to the Corinthians that Jesus was not delivered from the thorn in his body. He was crucified on a cross and died a shameful death. It is here that Paul's theology of the cross becomes relevant to his personal circumstances. He insists that his weaknesses are the very means by which the transforming power of faith in Jesus Christ shines through most dramatically. Now, what we can glean from Paul's humility is that as Christian believers, as the Church of Jesus Christ, the virtues of humility and self-surrender are truly instruments of transformation and formation. The question for us 21st century Christians is, what do we do when we say God says no? Or what happens to our callings, our faith, our walk with other believers when God does not grant our prayer request? Well, friends, the years of 2020 and 2021 so far have indeed brought a thorn in the flesh, and not just for one person, but for the entire global world. One may ask, was this a point of God's intentionality? But I say whether or not it was, it is truly a challenging and a daunting experience for the world. Yet, the Apostle Paul tells us that he sees it as a sacred space. And if we want to say what if it is, we first have to summarize on what notion that the thorn in the flesh points to both Paul's time and in our time. Could it be that the various forms of life's challenges falls in the category of thorns in the flesh, whose purpose is to keep humanity grounded and dependent on God? Whose purpose is to keep humanity grounded and dependent on God? Paul's opponents boast in their strength, where Paul boasts in Christ's weakness. For Paul's power is found in weakness. Rather than being viewed through mystical experiences and personal growth, Paul wants to be evaluated on the basis of his personal faith relationship with God. And he also wants to be known for what he preaches. And he preaches the proclamation of the cross of Jesus Christ. Paul says that the cross is a stumbling block for the Jews and foolishness for the Greek. He says to the Corinthians that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are being destroyed, but it is truly power, the power of God for those who are being saved. Paul's claim to power has only one source, and that source is God's rescuing us in our weaknesses in Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. In a world defined by power, weaknesses are not always welcome. For most of us, the idea of strength and weakness makes no sense whatsoever. After all, in this 21st century, strength and weakness are opposite. Logically, they don't go together at all. Our world tells us that weakness is bad and it is to be avoided at all costs. In contrast to that, it tells us that strength is good and it is something that we all want, which explains why most of us do everything that we can to avoid or overcome or conceal our weaknesses, because they truly make us vulnerable. Perhaps more important, they frighten us. After all, if we are weak and vulnerable, we truly can be hurt. As a result, we adopt all kinds of strategies to try to protect ourselves from our weaknesses and the vulnerability that we feel in the midst of them. We try to control our lives. We hide our true thoughts and feelings for fear of betrayal. We do anything we can to avoid or overcome being weak or vulnerable in any way, shape, or form. From my perspective, when I am weak, then I am strong makes no sense. With all that protecting and all of that controlling and all of that hiding our weaknesses, we truly close ourselves off from true living, from what life really is. Along with the Apostle Paul, most of the spiritual leaders through the ages recommend that we take the opposite approach, not strength, but weakness. And some of the greatest sagas have made it clear that their deepest spiritual insights came precisely through their vulnerability, through their suffering, through their pain. They virtually unanimously attest that they found peace, happiness, and strength through the full experience of thy weakness. And I truly can attest for myself that my deep relationship with Christ came through my journey of grief, pain, and vulnerability. It was through a time that I had claimed for all that I had claimed to stand for had been stripped away from me by the power and judgment of the world. It was truly through my weaknesses that God's power was made perfect. I was made strong. It was in my weaknesses that God truly showed up and gave me grace. Paul reminds us that in the world, afflictions are inevitable. So he say we should remain vigilant and we should pray persistently. We find in our lesson today in Paul's personal testimony, rather than Paul to engage in a one-upsmanship with his opponents, he takes the opposite approach, weakness rather than strength. He is saying to us, boast in weakness, not in strength. His weakness is about Christ. His weakness is Christ's power. Paul told the Corinthians that he stood in front of them with weakness, fear, and a lot of shaking. He did this so that their faith did not depend on the wisdom of an individual, but on the power of God. He wasn't interested in the people seeing Paul, the individual, but he wanted them to truly experience the presence of God. This is what we sometimes fail to know about God. God is not pure power, as many of us may want to think God to be. God is power in weakness, strength in suffering, love as exemplified on the cross. The cross is the key to everything in life and to all that we truly know about God. When we look closely at life, there seems to be a correlation between weakness and spirituality. It seems the more vulnerable we realize that we really are, the more open we are to make ourselves to the presence of God, and the deeper our faith and the deeper our spirituality. On the contrary, the more we try to protect ourselves, we try to control our lives and to avoid pain and weakness, the more we cut ourselves off from the presence of God, and the weaker our faith and our spirituality. The path for us discovering new strength is through embracing and facing our weaknesses. And in order for us to do this and discover the new strength, we have to be able to take on a leap of faith, a leap of faith that God's grace is sufficient for us in any and every crisis that we find ourselves in. Yet we can only discover the strength if we entrust ourselves into God's hands. Taking the leap of faith is truly a risk that will open us up, that can make us feel vulnerable to all of our personal weaknesses, that can be a scary thing for most of us. We feel safer with our doubts than taking the risk of faith. But the only way we can truly experience the sustaining grace of God is to take that risk. It is the only way we can truly experience new levels of personal strength that we may never have suspected we had. I truly tell you, I didn't know all the strengths that I had until God took control. We are called to take on God's hand. And what the good news for us all is that when we take this leap of faith, we don't do it alone. God is with us in every step of our journey. In God's grace, we can find the courage to face sometimes frightening and always challenging ebb and flow of life. When we take the leap of faith, we discover the truth in Paul's affirmation that when I'm weak, then I am strong. Few Christians have suffered the troubles and suffering that the Apostle Paul had to endure. But he discovered that God's grace would sustain him in the midst. He found great strength through a deep and a sincere prayer life. He was in such union with Christ that even in the times of great woe, he found strength. What was true for Paul can also be true for us today. It takes praying and leaning on the Lord our God. We need to learn how to pray deeply and persistently. Then we will find the strength to face bravely and faithfully all of the sorts of life. The relationship between God and Paul is fascinating. And in praying three times, God still overruled the apostle. But even in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed for the cup to be removed, but God overruled. Hence, in our prayer life and our faith walks with God, there are some afflictions we have to live with and endure, for in them we will experience God's grace. Deliverance is not just a positive and instant thing. But God's presence in our suffering is the answer that we need most. God's presence in our suffering is the answer we need most. Our thorn in the flesh, the pandemic, It has brought untold afflictions in our world, but God's grace is still available to us in this season. For it is in any seasons, moments, or predicaments that God's amazing grace and compassion are truly experienced. And our weakness is made perfect through those times. There is a presence with us, church. We have a comforter. We have a fortifier who does strengthen us. He upholds us. He brings us through somehow from hour to hour, day to day. And as the days go by, what grows upon one more and more is truly the amazing tenderness of the Lord our God Almighty. I say to you today, just like Paul, we can rely on the power of God. My friends, it is Christ alone who will enable us to develop power out of weakness. Christ alone, you can't do it in your own power. So I say to you, may we always remember to affirm that it is Christ that will see us through. And remember, God's grace is sufficient and his power is made perfect in weakness. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.